So this evening I've been asked to give you a few words of orientation. And to quote the Wright brothers, I sure hope this flies. The first thing we're going to do is something we do every year, and this is really fun, but I think we need a little background music for this, so 349 in the blue will do. And everybody who's here at Winnie CFO for the first time, if you could please stand up. Yeah, nice warm welcome for the first timers. For all the first-timers, thank you so much for coming. We're glad you're here. We have a real warm welcome, and we really are glad that you're here, and we hope we have a wonderful week, and it's going to be great, trust me. So now, the rest of the room, please stand up. As our host was saying, our time here goes back a number of years, and some of you have been here a number of those years, and we're going to see just how long. If you've been here from 1 to 5 years, it's time for you to sit down. 1 to 5 years, let's hear it for them. All right, it's 5 to 10 years. Who are the 5 to 10 year crowd? Where are they? Give them a nice round of applause. Ten to fifteen. Yeah. 15 to 20. Well, there's still a good number of people standing, and we're getting up there. 20 to 25 years here at Winnie CFO. Where are you? Coming up on the next one, 25 to 30 years. Who are you? 25 to 30. Hey. I actually should have sat down a couple of times ago. I was 16 years, so. Where are we? 25 to 30? 30 to 35. 30 to 35. Oh, hey. 40 to 45, getting right up there. We still got some people standing here. Just a small crowd left, but we're going to see how long we can go. Where are we at, 45 to 50? 45 to 50. Oh, nice. Still some folks left, 50 to 55. Oh, we lost one. Joel? 55 to 60 years. Oh. 60. Is this 60 to 65? Is that where we're at? Yeah, 60 to 65. Oh. Who is that? Don, Ken, and Ray? Ken, how many years is it? 61. Don and Ken, 61. Ray, how many years? 62. That's always fun. But whether you've been here for that many years or the first time, it's going to be a wonderful week. God has brought you here for a purpose, and it's going to be a good time. Everybody's here by divine appointment. Nobody's here by chance, we believe. So just two more little logistical items to tell you about. Thanks for paying attention to all the announcements. If you missed anything, and I know I missed a couple of things, we have two things that you can get at the registrar that will help you out for the week. It's the calendar, the schedule that Ann mentioned. And if you didn't get a handbook, everything that's been said tonight, basically all of that information is on one of these two things. So if you missed something, please grab those two items, because I know it's ixnay on announcements for the rest of the week, or at least we try to keep it to a minimum just so we can maximize our time. So if you don't have those two things, you can grab them at the registrar tomorrow. So what I thought we'd do this evening is talk about, we're going to talk about the CFO program, and we're going to sit back and reminisce a little bit, because the CFO program is quite unique. Oh, isn't this nice? Well, back in, 1930s, I think it was 1930 or 31, there was a CFO camp that started by a guy named Glenn Clark, and it was in Minnesota on Lake Coronis. Lake Coronis. And it just so happens, there's a little song to sing. If you could turn in your blue book to number 85. The first camp's farthest out was held in 1930 at Lake Coronis in Minnesota. A legend says that an Indian princess named Coronis leaped to her death from a rock above the lake because her lover had died. This line of music was arranged by Glenn Harding in honor of the legend and is often sung at the Coronis camp. Well, I'm not so sure about that, but we're going to sing it right now. So, it's very simple. It's just like the Three Stooges, hello, 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 except it goes K-O-K-O. R-O-R-O-N-I-S, and then you hold it with me until I cut you off. And then we sing the other one when I bring you back in. Coronis, just like NBC, whatever. All right, you ready? In good form now. Here it is. K-O-C-O-R-O. That's supposed to be the princess leaping off the rock. So I don't know how often that gets sung anymore, but well, that's the how many sung that for the first time out of the book. Well, just like the princess here, you might be here this week, and I hope you're ready to take a leap of faith, because the program is unique. And there's a lot to it, and you'll get out of the program what you put in. So I'm going to talk to you about the CFO day. I'm going to reminisce a little bit, talk about some people. Some people are going to share with us some CFO memories and all kinds of good stuff. Our program here at Winnie begins just a little earlier than some CFOs. We start with a morning swim. It's the swimming with the loons. This is optional, but I will not be there. But it is a very, I've been there a couple of times, and it's very nice. Unfortunately, the last time I was, Rebecca Sanborn came to wake me up to go to the swim one morning because she was taking the kids, and evidently I gave her the evil eye, and it's had something to say. I don't remember this, but I haven't lived it down, and so I haven't been able to get up that early. So, but if you go, it's a wonderful time. It's down there, the lifeguard's there, and you get to swim with the loons and the few other people that are there. It's a nice, refreshing thing for those of you who are morning people. At 7:15, we gather for morning meditation. Morning meditation takes place out at the stone pulpit. That's for a lead meditation, and then there's also a silent meditation that takes place here in the meeting house. You can go to either one you would like. And one of the main things about morning meditation is the time to, as Glenn Clark put it, catch the code of what God is saying, what God has for you during the day. And as you go through the CFO day, you'll find that the CFO day is a breathing in and a breathing out experience, a time for giving, time for receiving. Who knows when you'll be giving? Who knows when you'll be receiving? There are some obvious times to give and receive, and maybe some not so obvious times where you'll give or receive a blessing, and that's the beauty. We're all here together to do that. So morning meditation, we sit in silence. Maybe we'll hear somebody leading the meditation, and we're there to catch the code of what God is doing. What is God doing in your life? Where have you been this year? What's been going on? This might be a week where God has some answers for you, something to say that you didn't expect, some unexpected blessings. And morning meditation is a time where that can start to come into being. 7:45, we have our breakfast, and then after that we come into for a time of joyous singing at 9 o'clock. The singing here at Winnie especially, I think a lot of people can attest, is just so glorious. It's always been you know, just a hearty singing, everybody belting it out. Don't be afraid. If you've never sung before, don't worry about it. When everybody sings together, it sounds great, and it's wonderful. And you've heard some of the songs tonight, especially from the Green Book by Joel. And I know there's one I wanted to say, draw your attention to here. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to praise his name. I'm going to sing to my brother, sister, neighbor, till he or she does the same. That singing is just such a joyous experience. And after we sing together in the morning, we move to our morning talk. And the morning talk is, our talks are a time where we have speakers, and the speakers are a little different than some other places you may have been. The CFO talk is really designed to be a sharing of, you know, what God is doing in that person's, what God has done in that person's life, and what God is doing in that person's life. And so they'll be up here, our speakers will be up here to share, and you know, they've come prepared, they have a listening spirit, and I know that our speakers are listening to what God's doing throughout the week, and you know, our speakers may not even know where God is taking them sometimes, and that might be as the week goes on, and it's important that we're open and there for them as God takes them on a journey as well. And our speakers this week are Joe Hackinson, David Hawks, and Ruth Johnson. Joe and David are here. They're going to be doing the morning talks, I know. And Ruth is on her way, so we offer her a special blessing as she's flying in. She'll be flying in tomorrow afternoon. Is Anders here? Who's Anders? I know Anders had a memory to share or something about some special talks, so come on up. No. It's like we're sitting on the porch.
So I've been, remember way back when in middle school when I first started coming to the talks, and it was a really exciting time. Like Dana said, I think it was put best, and it's in the handbook. It's to show what God has done and is doing in these people's lives. And the beauty of a good speaking leader, especially at Winnie, is penetrating the thick heat of this room in the early morning and at night. For me, it was, I think, the most important thing that I got, aside from like personal messages and things like that, were that it was these outside characters, usually from another camp, as kind of foreign exposure to CFOers, and it was kind of a contrary experience to the insular kind of winniness that we, you know, I see the same people every year, but then it's like these other people who also go to CFO and also kind of like share the same mentality, sharing their experiences as well, and it's the kind of openness. There's this personal depth and a spiritual connection because of the sharing that bonds together the whole group, because we're all hearing this one story about this, like, well, one or two, or in this case, three people are sharing with an entire group. Sometimes talks are very beautiful and powerful, and it's kind of a special sharing that I've never seen anywhere else, because there's a kind of openness to the talks. Sometimes talks are funny and very engaging, and they get the whole group really fired up, and then sometimes talks are dry and unbearably boring. But here's my tip to anyone who's never been to a CFO or doesn't have a lot of experience with talks, is that remember that you can do the nod and doze off and just kind of like that kind of thing, because it appears as though you're in deep agreement with what's being said.
Thanks, Anders. After the morning talk, we'll move outside, and if there's inclement weather, someone will tell us where to go, maybe in here, for a time for rhythms. And I know David Hodges had something he wanted to share about rhythms, so he's going to come up now. And while he's coming up, I just want to read you a quick quote about rhythms, because rhythms is an important part of the day. And as you'll find, the CFO day is about, it's a whole experience, a holistic experience. Another discovery made at the camps farthest out was that to pray with the greatest abandon and with all of one's power, one should pray with all of one's being. For that reason, it was early discovered that if there was to be any technique of prayer, it must be a technique that would include one's body as well as one's mind and one's soul, a laying of oneself completely and totally upon the altar of God. Therefore, an hour was set aside for the study of rhythm and physical coordination in order to find a technique that one could depend upon and use for praying with one's body. So, David, you wanted to share something about rhythms.
When I first came to Winnie, I was a 32-year-old young parent, and I was very excited about prayer groups, very excited about singing, very excited about creators, but I knew that I was not going to do rhythms. That was the part of the program that did not appeal to me, and I felt that in my dignity, this was something that I could safely pass by. And it didn't help that Peggy Vanderswaa, who some of you might remember, said, "Why, David, are you afraid of becoming as a little child?" And that kind of deepened my resistance. But something happened, you know, as I kept coming back to camp, and I honestly don't remember when or why I tried rhythms for the first time. But it was kind of fun, and I kind of lost my self-consciousness and started to enjoy it. But the one memory I have is we had been doing a little partner thing, and it ended up on the grass doing a row, row, row your boat type of thing, and I was partnered up with Bob Spencer. And we just had so much fun with it, and I realized that there's no place else on earth that two grown men can be sitting in the grass doing row, row, row your boat. And I also realized that there's no place on earth where the generations mix like they do here so safely, and that I really started to appreciate my elders through Bob and through doing rhythms. But then fast forward a few years, and I started to appreciate it in a more deeper sense. I started to appreciate the dance-like aspects of it, and I started to realize why people would want to be dancers. I started to realize the genius of Glenn Clark in putting rhythms in the program, because I made a discovery that changed my life, which is that spirituality is grounded in the body, and that if your body is loose and free, then your spirituality is loose and free. And I think that for that reason, rhythms is really foundational to the CFO experience, and that a good rhythms experience will unlock the rest of the program like nothing else can.
Thanks, David. After we've had that chance to use our bodies to praise the Lord and pray, we move on to creatives. And there are different creatives that you can choose from, writing, creative art, and singing. And it was Marty Gehring. She here? She had something she was going to share about creatives. And creatives is just that time to let go and let God guide you into whatever happens. Ask God what you're to do for creatives. And I think this will be a good story for you.
Okay, Dana asked me to share something that had happened for years. I had a great time down in what was called the Art Barn. And this one year, a woman came. She hadn't been at camp since she had been a little girl, but she came grown up. She was hurting desperately. She'd gone through a really nasty divorce. Her kids weren't doing well. She was just really hurting. She wasn't sure where she should be for creatives, but she kind of wandered in to the Art Barn, and she didn't feel like she felt like doing anything, really. But she gravitated to the table where there were scraps of paper, and she started working on a collage. And then day after day throughout the week, she came back to the collage, and by the end of the week, her face was just radiant, and the Lord had actually done a tremendous amount of healing through the pictures that she had chosen from all these magazines and words that she had found. And she was so excited about it that we had a sharing service at the end of that camp week. And she kept holding up these pictures. You know, she had like four or five of them. She just couldn't get over how the Lord, she said it was way better than any psychotherapy. You know, it was so, the Lord is our best physician always. So enjoy creatives.
Thanks, Marty. And the one thing recently that I heard about creatives that was interesting, I didn't know this, it was something that Glenn Clark had kind of envisioned with creatives. The creatives in themselves are wonderful, and big things can happen, as some of us can attest to. But there's kind of an overarching theme with creatives that Glenn Clark was going after, and it was the act of creative living. What's brought out in creatives? What ideas does God give us? How can we take that back home? How does that affect our lives? What gets brought out? What are things that we would act on after camp that we may not have before camp had we not engaged in creatives and, you know, and listened to God? If you haven't got it already, but you know, the whole day, the whole camp day is really about listening and tuning in and seeing what God has for you, and God can appear in any way, that's for sure. So after creatives, we get to go to lunch. And then after lunch, we do have an hour of horizontal time. It's a quiet hour, a time to soak in everything that's happened during the day. And again, listen. Sometimes a lot happens, and you have to take some time to process that. And that horizontal hour is the time to do it. While sleeping may or may not occur, we do ask that it's, you know, a peaceful hour. After horizontal hour, we have a time of recreation, which all kinds of things can happen. You can go to the beach, have a good time, see friends, talk. There's a number of people who will be playing games. Make sure to get around and, you know, invite people in, and everybody will be in together. And after our recreation time, right here in this room, we have prayer preparation. And prayer preparation, I'll share a memory about that. For a long time, there was this kind of sense of, was prayer preparation part of the program, was it not? Was it something that was added in? And, you know, some people went, some people didn't. But I remember going, and it was over in the chapel, and it was Marcia Brown who used to lead that. And originally, I guess it was for the prayer group leaders, but everybody was, it seemed like there were a lot more people there, so everybody went. And she was so excited. She always had something to share and just had this listening spirit that was so, it just permeated the room. And it was a time to get settled, a time to get ready for prayer group, bring yourself into focus, and just a time of listening, a time of peace, a time of settle down. And one thing Marcia Brown said, I came in and she looked at me and she touched my shoulder and she says, it's so nice to, she says, I love being here. You get the stuff that's fresh off the griddle of heaven. And I thought that was just great. So prayer preparation takes place in here. David Hodges will be leading that, and it is a great time. And then we move to our prayer group. If you didn't get to draw a prayer group number when you registered, you can still see either David Hodges or the registrars to get a number. Because we split up into the groups, you go with your assigned number. And the prayer groups were envisioned to be the crux of the day. That's the center of the day. That's what everything's really been leading up to. And as you can see, you draw a number, and it's by the lottery. So you end up with who you end up. And, you know, who knows what that'll bring. After many prayer groups now, I can say that it's always different what God will bring through a prayer group. Who knows? Sometimes it's challenges. Sometimes it's just blessings beyond belief. You spend this time praying with people, and I think I refer to them as prayer groups, but the real term is prayer laboratories. What it is a time for is to get ourselves out of the way and experiment with prayer. Put it out there. Don't be afraid. We're all here together. We're going to take that step of faith together in a prayer group to bring whatever our needs are before God, and you'll be amazed. And where's Bray Kennison? I know he had something to share about prayer group. He's going to come up now. And just be open to your prayer group. You'll settle in. It'll be wonderful. And Ray's got a good story to tell.
Well, Dana mentioned that sometimes prayer groups can be... Thank you. Sometimes prayer groups and microphones can be challenging. And I remember one particular time in prayer group that I felt the presence of God, but I also felt God's challenge. A woman had asked for prayer, and I felt that I should pray for her. And I should pray for her. I really ought to pray for her. Gee, I really ought to pray for her. Maybe someone else will. Oh, I really ought to pray for her. Finally, the woman prayed the prayer that I would have prayed for herself. And ever since then, I've always tried to follow the precept: when God tells you to pray, you pray.
Thanks, Ray. Yeah, it's hard to listen to God's voice sometimes. It takes faith and it takes practice, and that brings up another theme of CFO. It's we're here to be what Glenn Clark referred to as athletes of the Spirit. And to be an athlete of the Spirit does take some training. It takes time to, it takes practice. It takes stepping out. It takes trying. It takes sometimes failing a little bit. But we're all here together to love each other through that. And then after prayer laboratories, we get to go to dinner. And it brings us back to singing again, to cap off the day with some joyous singing and another talk. And the talks, can be anything. You've got to be open to whatever God will have for you. And I'll just share one quick thing that happened to me. I remember there was this talk, I think it was Al Durrance who was here speaking. I was listening to his talk. I was there. I was engaged. But he went into this time where he was going to pray for people because he felt led to pray for various needs that might be in the room. And I was like, okay, that's fine. And I was sitting there and going along with the prayer. And I didn't think that there was necessarily anything directly for me at that point. But I was there in prayer and happy to be on the giving end. And not that I wasn't necessarily on the receiving end at that moment. But then he prayed something. He prayed something along the lines of, you know, forgiving folks. He says, I forgive my family members. I forgive you for dying on me. And that hit me like a wave because I had stored up so much anger about losing a couple of family members. And I didn't realize how much I needed that healing. And so when you least expect it, you can be on the receiving end. And when you least expect it, you can be on the giving end. When you least expect it, you can be in both. And you just never know. But it was such, it was one moving, and that's the only thing I remember from that talk. So, and then after our talk is over, we'll have time of afterglow. It's a time of fellowship, and I'll take a moment to introduce Jim and Linda Baker. Where are they? Are they here? Stand up for us. They are providing our afterglow this week. Thanks so much for doing that, because it's going to be a wonderful time. There's usually food out on the porch. There will be food on the porch. I heard about it. And something about baking, how many dozens of cookies? I'm looking forward to that. So sit around. We'll be out there glowing. And if you're glowing past 10:30, like they said, just try to keep it down. And lights out is at 11 o'clock. And then you've heard about our youth programs already. The youth programs go on during Afterglow, but Jonathan had something he wanted to share about the youth programs because they are so important. And sometimes, I don't know if parents know everything that happens. You may not get the whole lowdown. But I remember being in the youth group, and it was such a wonderful time. And Jonathan's going to share something.
Well, this is going back a little way because I was in high school. I might have even been in junior high, I'm not sure. There are a lot of different things that happen in the youth program, but one of the things that has been done in the past, and it's been done fairly recently too, was the speakers would come maybe one night and speak to the youth specifically, not so much a talk, but just to tell a little bit about their life and answer questions. And this was the junior high and high school were combined. And one of the speakers that year was Tommy Lewis. And I think as a speaker to the adults, it was a kind of a... maybe it wasn't his best speaking year, but he had come and he was talking about, I don't remember what he was talking about, it just was about his life and his youth. And we were in the barn and we were all in a circle and he was sitting and he was talking to us and he just looked around the circle as he was talking. And there was just this little moment in time where our eyes met, and they were the eyes of Christ. And I can't exactly explain it to you, but I knew in that moment that I had seen Christ, and I knew that I was loved. And that one little moment, it explained so much more for me than, you know, years of theology or doctrine, and not, that's all important too, but it answered so many questions in a blink of an eye, and it left a feeling of resting in God, of security, that just, you know, it's lingered on and on, and it's, you know, that one little moment was formative for me. So you just never know where those little moments are going to be. You might be listening to a talk and you might hear something that no one else hears. You might hear something that the speaker never said because God is speaking to you personally.
Thank you. So there's a lot that goes on at CFO, and a lot that can happen, and what you'll get out of it won't be what somebody else gets out of it, but hopefully after the week is out, you'll be blessed, and we will have been here together, and it will be wonderful. At the end of the night, what time is it now? Well, it's time to end then. At the end of every night, we stand up and we say the 9 o'clock prayer, and we're going to stand up, join hands. In case you don't know, there are many CFO camps around the world, and when we have the 9 o'clock prayer, we're touching base with the belt of prayer that's around the world through CFO and CFOI, and this prayer unites us all. I'm going to bring the circle around a little bit if we can. CFO is sometimes we thinking about our needs a lot, and, you know, that's fine, but CFO at its core had a lot of lofty ideals. After we leave camp, you know, we're supposed to take this back to our homes. We're supposed to take what we have here and live it. Athletes of the Spirit, this is a training ground. And when we leave here, we're working to bring this back to those we know and bringing peace to the world. And that's a big thing. How many really think that's possible? Do we think that's possible? CFO's taught me to think that it's possible. So we're going to say the 9 o'clock prayer. It goes like this, in case you don't know it. It goes, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me." So we'll say that together. Thy kingdom come. Amen. Have a good night, and we'll see you in the morning.